morning, Justin.
Good morning, Mr. Mark.
All right. How are you?
I like that softball on a tee. I'm dandy, Mark. I'm dandy.
I'm glad to hear it, Justin. It's good to see you. You're looking dandy this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel dandy, so.
Good.
It's a good dandy morning.
Yes, it is.
A little crispy, too.
It is. Not cool. As crispy as yesterday morning, but no. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sun's coming up. Yeah. It's tough getting. The evenings are nice, but it's fun getting used to those longer days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, the evenings are nice because you have more sun, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. The days are getting longer and you notice it. Well, time change, of course, occurred.
Yeah.
But yeah, at this time of day, it's not like I necessarily need a lot of light, and yet you can see the sun starting to come up. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, you get a lot more light. It's kind of neat.
Yep. It's, I very much favor having more sun in the evening.
I bet you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm as the days all get for, warmer. Are we in daylight savings time now? Age old question.
So. I think so.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, that's weird to me because I would think the winter you would want to save daylight.
Hmm. No, you just want to hibernate in wintertime.
Yeah.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. All right. Taking a sip of my coffee.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No concerns.
So today's topic, very polarizing. Brought to you by, what is it brought to you by?
How I See It.
Brought to you by How I See It.
Yes. Okay. That's the only sponsor.
I like it. I mean, if you want to send us money, we may or may not mention your name.
Oh.
So,
Well, if you're a big enough business that where you desire, yeah. We could offer endorsements.
Oh.
Yeah.
We need to go back to that episode where we talked about this.
We do. Would that be a change on my part?
It might be. I can't recall.
Yeah.
I think that was a little more Be All Right.
That's right.
That
it was.
Episode.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm proud that I can remember. Oh.
That's pretty good.
Oh, hang on.
Just days are getting longer. Justin just swallowed a bug. No.
I don't know what that was.
I think it was his breakfast snack.
Yeah, I think so. I'm back. It's okay.
He's good. He's not turning blue.
That's right. Yeah. He can breathe.
Yep.
So today, I don't know, maybe some people may consider this a polarizing topic. Some may not, but it's this idea of marriage counseling.
Ooh.
And I'd like it to be kind of a little bit dual purpose in the sense of talking about marriage counseling, but also understanding a little bit more about Mark and your background and how you got into counseling. Okay. And I know you're not specifically marriage counseling, and I know you do. I mean, I think tagline would be marriage and family counseling. Is that
marriage
correct?
And family therapist? Yes. I'm
marriage
a licensed
family
marriage
therapist.
And family therapist.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
no
you.
Problem.
Yeah. I do like that word therapist because it makes you sound very legit, which if you've been listening, he's very legit. Yeah. So.
I was just thinking you were looking for marriage advice this morning, and we could do that all. But now I'm understanding a little more.
Topic. I'm gonna try and mine some of that during
okay.
this. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know your license number?
Yeah,
offhand. Ooh, let's have it. Or is that
1691?
1691.
Yeah,
that's like close to when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. No, that was 1492. Not close.
Yeah, you're right on it there. You're right on it there.
Right on. All right, so let's get into it.
Yeah. Do you have some questions?
I do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You really have thought about this as a topic.
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Go for it. I'm good.
First question would be, what caused you to shift your career? Because you were, primarily construction, right?
Yeah. And
I think a general contractor, is that correct?
That's correct.
Which I'm sure kept you very busy. You weren't in need or want of work, correct? Okay. So yeah, what caused you to make that shift?
That's a God story in itself to a degree, but I'll give you the Reader's Digest version.
All right. The How I See It version.
Yeah, that's true. Chris and I, of course, we were working with couples through our church.
Mm.
Just kind of, you know, we had what I would call a passion.
Yeah.
And we ended up going to a summit conference through our church. Our church sponsored it. We actually went to, you know, we were in upstate New York and went to a satellite location for what Bill Hybels was the leader of that summit.
Okay.
And there was a moment when he basically said, okay, you know, what is your holy discontent?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, you know, he identified Moses, his anger came from the way, you know, the Hebrew children were being treated in Egypt. And, you know, that brought him to anger. And he just asked us to reflect on that. And, you know, Chris and I both just kind of looked at each other and we said, you know, status of marriage and therefore family in the United States was our topic. And, you know, it wasn't that we had thought about it ahead of time, but it was just something we recognized, you know, life cycle stages, that kind of thing, you know, with John and Lizzie and just, you know, friends and their friends and, you know, and then, a close friend, actually. Yeah. Well, it was someone that was on our podcast, but a close friend of Chris's was, you know, going through a separation, that kind of thing. And it just really kind of tore up our thoughts a little bit. And so, yeah, that's where that came from. And then that became the journey. And we, you know, we talked about, you know, going into a pastoral role and so forth. But even other pastors had advised us, you know, it's like, okay, now if you want to do this, you know, go the therapy route, go the counseling route, you know, really do the hard work and, you know, wrestle with your own stuff. Mm. And then, you know, you're a little more equipped to help other people.
Mm.
So yeah, that's the short version. Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
And it became, you know, education and working through that and changing jobs and part of moving. And yeah, so it's been a good journey. Mm-hmm. You never, it's funny. Chris and I, you know, it was difficult because you don't realize how many hoops are involved in a process sometimes, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
You realize, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we can do that. And then it's like, well, we got to do that and we got to do that and we got it. And then there's, oh, and then you got to do this, you know? And so, yeah, it was a good journey though.
Mm. So it was a little still bit is. A blind step in faith and then realizing.
This is what we're going to do, but we didn't realize what we were committing to at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which do you think was good?
But I think it definitely kind of, I would dare say, you know, Chris and I were both committed, but my lack of awareness definitely impacted, you know, Chris's sense of security in that process of, you know, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
There's something else.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's something else that, you know, so it was, you know,
yeah.
It was another surprise.
So you needed some marriage counseling before you could be
it was kind of hoop after hoop there for a long time. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. But it was good.
You did it. 1691.
Yeah.
Lessons we did it. Number.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a team effort. No doubt about it.
Yeah. It's awesome. So
I'd actually be the first to say, Chris actually has a better, I think she just does it naturally. She has the questions. She tends to think in questions.
Yeah, she's a good questioner.
She is.
For sure.
And I think, you know, even in counseling, that's, you know, what do questions mean to us? I think sometimes, you know, it's like if somebody's asking me questions, I tend to get a little more anxious because I'm thinking I messed up.
Yeah.
You know, whereas other people see questions as, oh my goodness, you just want to get to know me better.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's a little freebie for you. You know, it's like, okay, what do questions mean to me?
Mm.
So if somebody starts asking me questions, do I start feeling an insecurity or do I start feeling a closeness and I lean in or do I resist? So,
Mm.
But Yeah, Chris has always been great at asking the questions.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw off your train.
No, it's a good little rabbit trail that I'm going to try and avoid. But yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So write that one down, folks. yeah, no, it's cool to understand a little bit of the background and know that, you know, focus on the marriage was kind of a key part of that, and the family kind of came as a result of that, right?
Like, sure.
The family focus.
Yeah, because I, for me personally, I think, I mean, marriage, healthy marriage is the foundation to civilization as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's that's how I see it.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, it's not something, because out of healthy marriages come healthy families. And, you know, out of that polarization, you know, I'm not saying, you know, we don't need community. But at the same time, it's not about, you know, the government can raise my children as effectively as parents can. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's a God-given opportunity, role, responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
That each of our children is unique to be able to be raised by us. Hmm. And I'm not, you know, and that's nothing against childcare or anything like that. But, you know, recognizing that as a parent, I have a God-given role. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm just all about helping people do that role, fulfill that role to the best of their abilities.
Which starts with the relationship between the parents, is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And then, you know, you still do some construction and stuff. So as we've described, I don't know if we mentioned this term before on this podcast, but it's a term you use often, is the wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that started early and it's continued until today, of like that balance and, you know, of just wrestling with how much time to give. Right.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little to that?
Sure. I haven't done it well lately. I mean, like you say, there is a tremendous need, you know, for therapy,
for remodels. Yes.
Yeah. Well, both. That's my issue.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, my priority is the therapy, you know, and it used to be, I felt it was far more balanced, but now I'm just finding that I don't have as much time for the construction as I'd like. And I think it's different for me just because that was a little more of my therapy. You know, I have different things that I do for my own self-help, you know, and the construction part of that was that ability to use my hands and just my body, you know, exercising my mind and my body is kind of how I see it, you know, from that aspect of, you know, the therapy is a mental thing, but I enjoyed the physical labor, always have enjoyed the physical labor. It's probably what hasn't made me a very, successful business person, but I just enjoy the hands-on part of it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can speak to that. It's just the need continues to grow, and I respect the fact that sometimes in who I am, it's hard for me to say no. Mm-hmm. So, you know, two strong needs doesn't make for a really. At times I have to recognize I have to say no.
Yeah.
And I'm not always good at that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And it's in your position, and it's similar because my wife, Megan, she's a hairstylist, but it's like, once you say yes to someone, it's not a one time yes, right?
Sure.
It's a perpetual yes. And you know what I mean? And so
it's some people, and this is funny because I was thinking about it yesterday. You know, I got a call from a random person, you know, and they basically said, "Hey, can you swing by and, you know, fix some shingles on my roof in Oak Island?" And it's like, no, I was practicing, and it was like, "You mean you don't have 10 minutes just to stop by and put a light?" Like,
you had the riot.
Yeah, it was funny because it was like, once that person went there, it's like, it was so much easier to say no.
Yeah. You matter of fact, I sure do not have 10 minutes to come up.
I do not, you know, because it's like, that was all it would take in that person's mindset. So it was just kind of funny, you know, it's just. Sometimes it's easier to say no to certain people who are actually saying, "Hey, you know, can you do this? I really need some help. And, you know, and this person's down and out on their luck, you know, and they've hit this, you know, that becomes tougher. But when a person's, you know, kind of coming from that entitlement perspective that, you know.
Yeah, so if you need work, Mark to work on your shingles, you got to play the I really need help card, the desperate card.
Yes.
And he will rescue you.
But then I'll tell you that it's going to take more than 10 minutes. Right. So, you know, don't go there because that'll,
That happens in the software world as well.
Oh, I bet.
Like, oh, that should be simple. Oh, no, you said it.
This won't take long. This shouldn't be, that's right. This should be easy should for be somebody easy. Like
yeah,
you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times have I said that? I apologize if I have.
You may have. I don't know. Yeah. I may have done that with you with the construction
stuff. It's all good.
All right. Back to the questions,
sure.
Mark.
Yeah.
So, if you could summarize
the
best, your favorite thing about that specific role of marriage and family counseling, it's okay if it's not the marriage aspect, but
sure.
If it is, then it really ties nicely into the subject. But what would you say is the best part?
The best part for me is that aspect of getting to know people. You know, because I believe once you know someone it's interesting because there's a difference between knowing an individual personally, like how long you talk with an individual. And in my line of work, there's also these patterns, you know, so I don't necessarily have to always talk with you and get every detail from you, but one starting to talk with you, I have the ability to kind of say, okay, this fits into a pattern. You follow me? This is a pattern. And we start identifying, and those patterns aren't always extremely unique. You follow me? So once we get into that role and that dynamic, helping people recognize that there's nothing wrong with them. That what they're doing makes perfect sense based on what they've experienced and where they've come from. Then there's a heightened sense of freedom and a loss of shame. Shame is diminished when it's like I'm able to recognize there's nothing. Well, I'm human.
Yeah.
And therefore what I'm doing makes perfect sense. They're really, and because our tendency is to say, what's wrong with me?
Right. I'm broken.
Yes.
Versus, this is the way. It's almost physics, right? For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. And sometimes we lose sight of that and we think our reaction is outsized.
Yes.
I think it sounds like you're saying you're able to identify those patterns and say, see, that action was pretty significant, which is why it makes sense that the reaction is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think that's the, you know, the one phrase, you know, when I'm able to talk with people, you know, okay, you know, there's really nothing wrong with you. You know, that's just where over time I've been able to see that freedom. It's like, are you serious? Because then once people recognize there's nothing wrong with them, you know,
that's so cool.
The ability to be vulnerable really increases. Because it's like,
because you're not in shame cover mode.
Yes.
Because you don't need to be, because there's no shame necessary.
Yes.
This is what hurt people in these situations do.
Exactly.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's probably my favorite part. And
well,
you know,
doesn't bode well for saying no to new clients if that's your favorite part. It's getting the known.
That's true. But yes. Yes.
Very cool.
It doesn't mean that I'll be new people. I'll be able to see you this week. You know, like we make that transition. But
So
that's probably my favorite part, is just getting to know people. There's always these different theories, you know, as far as, you know, and through the training, you know, in the box, outside the box, you know, and professionalism. And I just, that's just not. I'm definitely an in the box type person. Not that your problems are my problems, but it's like, I don't sit above and look at you down in the box, and I stay removed from the box.
You know, with your glasses down on the edge of your nose and writing on a clipboard.
Sometimes I do put my glasses on the edge of my nose. That's true. Those glasses. But yeah, and I do have a clipboard.
Metaphorically. Metaphorically, I mean. You may still have a clipboard and glasses on the edge of your nose.
Yes, but it's only because that helps me, you know, get to remember that person.
Yeah.
As I write it down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And yeah, it helps me connect.
Yeah, I would say in my experience with you, not that I've experienced you as an actual in the counselor perspective, but definitely in the counselor perspective, you've counseled me many times, but is that you do have a unique ability to get down in the box with us, but not take on the struggle, the drama, or the saga.
The saga, yes.
We'll get to that in a minute. You have a pretty distinct and unique ability to do that, where I don't know that I know anyone else I've ever met that can do it that like that, and I think that's pretty cool.
I'll even what I know, I'm just adding this part, what I know about therapy is a addition. You like that pun? It's an addition to what I did as a contractor, because so often that was the role I had even as a contractor, because I'd come in to this couple's situation. They're saying, you know, we have these resources and we want to do this. Can you help us? You know, because they didn't have all that they needed to get to where they wanted, and they had certain resources, and it was my job to be able to talk with both of them in such a way that kind of excavated what they both wanted from that space with those resources, you know, and it just, it just gave me an opportunity to get to know people and to start working in that context of, oh, I see your vision and I see your vision, and how are we going to combine these two in such a way that kind of gets you both what you want and in a way that makes you a, you know, a happy customer. And granted, sometimes as the therapist, I'm not so concerned about the happy customer because the relationship is my client when I'm working in marriage and family therapy.
Nice.
But it was, I used to have a tagline that that said I was, people would say, well, that's a big difference, you know? And I just say, I just went from building, building houses to building homes.
Oh, nice. You know, that sounds like a Mark tagline.
Really, you know, that home dynamic is where families and, you know, marriages thrive, when that sense of home is, you know,
So you're secure. Building homes one way or another.
Well,
you're a home builder. That's what you can tell people. What do you do? Well, I'm a home builder.
There you go.
I do it through counseling, therapy, and construction.
Wellspring Life Services.
That's right.
That's it, you know, life service.
Yeah. That's the name of Mark's company.
Yeah.
Wellspring Life Services.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So moving on.
Yeah.
If you're good with that.
I'm good. I'm good.
What is, well, let's put it this way. When or why should a couple seek counseling when they're, I'm going to tee this up for you.
Yeah, yeah, you can put it right on that tee for me.
When their drama is at the height.
Oh.
Or, I'll let you out.
I tend to think that we wait far too long to get the help we need so often. And I think, you know, I'm certainly willing to help people whenever, but so often what I hear is, well, I'll hear it after, you know, a positive session. It's like, we should have done this years ago. You know, that's what I'll routine. We've been married 25 years. We've been married 15 years. And you know what? We should have done this years ago. We should have done this. We should have done this in hindsight when we had kids, when we moved, you know, because it was at that point that, you know, this creeping separation, this pattern, if you will, was developed. And we've been operating in this, you know, I'll call it a, you know, this core pattern, or some might call it a negative cycle, you know, for years. And it's like, there was, we didn't necessarily, it was, and that's the tough part, because you don't know what you don't know at that mm-hmm. point. But yet I think quite often there is this dynamic that says, okay, we probably should talk with someone about this, or, you know, we can do something different, but we just kind of ignore. I think part of it is that shame dynamic, but then it just, once those negative cycles are in place, it's tough at times to root those out, you know, because, you know, each time one of the couple desires to become vulnerable, even if they're able to, or, you know, expressing a need and therefore they are vulnerable, you know, the other person just cuts their knees right off from that negative cycle, and it's counter to that vulnerability again.
Yeah, because it starts to become a little bit more about, you know, when we kind of separate it, we start building our cases, right?
Yeah.
And start almost keeping score, and, you know, when the other side very is much vulnerable, there's a chance there to gain ground, so to speak, is what is perceived. When, you know, the reality is the opposite, right? When someone's vulnerable, well, now there is a chance to gain ground through love and respect and all those good things. But yeah, I think when you're in those negative patterns, it's about scorekeeping. And yeah, I think almost trying to reduce my shame, you know, in the marriage, and be like, see, it's not my fault, it's your fault.
Or
like, when there's someone's vulnerable, be like, ha, I knew it was you, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
And those things, as you know, those things are all counter to relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anytime you're keeping score in a relationship, and it doesn't matter what the relationship, it can be, you know, I remember, when we first got married, we would go to some friend's house. And before we were getting married, we used to spend a lot of time at our friends of ours, and they were pretty well off. And when we would go there, we didn't want for anything. You know, we didn't have to ask if we should bring something. It wasn't, you know, and this is before we were married. We would just go hang out there.
Yeah.
And then even when we got married, we would continue to hang out with this family, right?
Sure.
Well, not every household is that way.
Sure.
And we kind of learned that the hard way by kind of assuming on other relationships. Like, when we go to your house, we can...
It
just didn't even occur to me that you should bring stuff. It didn't occur to me that you shouldn't eat whatever you want and do what, you know, it was like...
You couldn't help yourself to the refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I quite went that far, but like, if there was something put out, I didn't feel any whatever. Mm-hmm. But long story short, ended up realizing that there was a little bit of like frustration on the other side of like, these people kind of just, you know, almost like scorekeeping, right? This is like, so I'm like, okay, you know, next time I got to top that score and like bring something and not, you know, not eat as much or whatever. And it started that dynamic. And I started realizing, you know, like that's a reality too for, again, this other couple is freshly married too, so it was like their resources are limited, and of course that didn't occur to me, you know. But back to the whole point of like scorekeeping in a relationship, whatever that relationship is, causes separation versus bringing together. That can happen with your contractor, right? You know, that can happen with your students, you know, your kids. Teacher, excuse me, that can happen with, you know,
each time there's an offense, perceived or otherwise, you know, it's a real thing. Yeah. And, you know, to be able to recognize that and address it, you know.
Yeah. And in some relationships that are real casual, I mean, it's just a matter of adjusting my side and go, all right, I got to stop. Score and just be benevolent or whatever. But in like real relationships, it's work, right? So this is where, you know, I don't know. I tried to tee you up, but you missed it.
Did I miss it as far as drama and saga?
Yes.
Yeah.
Earlier you had this tremendous quote about drama versus your saga. And I want you to tie that into marriage if you can.
Sure. And I think, you know, for me, there's a difference, you know, when I think of drama, I think of, you know, tremendous highs, tremendous lows, you know, and that's not to say that marriage doesn't have those. But I think, you know, when we can recognize that Marriage done well is more like a saga. It's a continuing story. Mm-hmm. It's a journey, and mm-hmm. those highs and lows are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I can still mm-hmm. see that there's a lot of good between the highs and the lows that are just, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay for us to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, it doesn't have to be, you know, romantic and exciting all the time.
Mm.
There's something to be said for the ability to say, I'm good to hold your hand and we're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. Even if we're disagreeing, even if we can't see eye to eye right now, I'm still going to reach out, not you personally, but I'm going to reach out and, you know, hold your hand in such a way that says, I'm still physically here.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that becomes that's part of the saga mm-hmm. that continues when we mm-hmm. when we're able to recognize this is part of a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's going to be these life cycle stages and, yeah. you know, and I don't think, you know, and I can say that in two words. And yet I recognize, you know, having kids and raising kids and, you know, early, you know, toddlers and, you know, and adolescence and empty nest and, you know, losing parents, you know, mm-hmm. that's all part of life cycles. It happens mm-hmm. to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, identity change that goes along with that. There's going to be aspects of what my purpose is, you know, where my security mm-hmm. comes from, mm-hmm. my ability to, you know, a couple's ability to accept one another, mm-hmm. you know, recognizing, you know, God is, from my perspective, you know, God is that source, you know, for all of those things. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of change, so often I look to my spouse to define some of those things. And, you know, especially, you know, acceptance and, you know, that kind of thing or security, you know, it's going to be, you know, big for, you know, majority of females, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, yeah, that's mm. just a part of it. I just really see things from that journey perspective.
Yeah. And I think I love it. Right. I think that's the healthy perspective and mm. is about, you know, when going through the drama mm-hmm. to understand that this is not the whole thing. This is a yes. saga. This is a part of the saga, an end to a chapter or, you know, like,
sure.
you know, if you think about a long book, right?
Yeah.
The saga, and there might be dramatic moments, but there's setups for like the end or of a yeah. chapter to start a new chapter or whatever. And I think that's a healthy way to think about it is this drama is not the end. You know, this drama doesn't represent all of our marriage and all that it's, you know, meant to be. And you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
it's oh, yeah. a moment in time and it's part of a longer journey. And yeah, I just really like how you put it.
And I think the thing I like about, you know, when I think of life cycles and, you know, and you think of good stories, you know, there is this cycle of learning, you know, I learn, you know, I don't, whatever the story is, you know, I learn as a, I'm going to write the story here, but you know, I'm thinking of something like, even like Yellowstone.
Okay.
You know, they reflect back.
I'm not familiar with that story. So you're going to have to okay, draw well, the picture.
It's a TV, yeah. you know, but you know, it's this process of reflecting back and how mm-hmm. I've learned things, you know, from my family system,
mm-hmm.
you know, that affected me mm-hmm. when I was a child. And those are the, you know, as I became an adolescent, you know, I had certain struggles, you know, the bullies got bigger, but you know, I'd learned how to kind of deal with that as a child, you know, mm-hmm. and, or not, you know, mm-hmm. to the degree mm-hmm. that I deal mm-hmm. with it either in healthy ways, mm-hmm. you know, in relational ways or non-relational mm-hmm. ways, you know, that learning in it, and it just gets, and then I become the, you know, the hierarchy, you know, the, mm-hmm. the leader of the family, and those things, those cycles mm-hmm. that I've learned from are the, what I teach to those that come behind me.
Right. Or perpetuate.
Yeah. It's a legacy type dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I see those continued cycles. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that I like most about the cycle perspective is to be able to recognize it's a part of life. And even though it's very personal when I'm in it, if I can step out of it, I can recognize, okay, this is what's happening. When I do this, you do that. So if I want to minimize what you doing that, I need to recognize what I do to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you say, that's part of that learning from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And I believe learning is something that's a ongoing thing, hopefully.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's a healthy thing.
So another question for you.
Sure, fire away.
Bring back kind of one of our core buzzwords, polarization.
Yeah. Yes.
What would be some of the polarizing aspects to marriage counseling? I think just itself can be polarizing in the sense that I believe most couples won't enter marriage counseling until they truly believe they need it. And I think the polarizing idea would be that I think most couples could use marriage counseling. And who doesn't need a little help once in a while with relational struggles, you know, or something?
No, and I think at times we make it a big thing to talk with someone, to go somewhere, to, you know, sit down in someone's office and make time.
Yeah.
And I think in our culture, what used to happen, I'd say more naturally, more organically, that's the word I was looking for, more organically was our family systems were more connected. So, you know, if I didn't, if I couldn't necessarily, you know, if I was a young married and I couldn't necessarily talk with my parents, I probably had a grandparent that I could go to, you know, that had kind of been observing things all along, maybe never really said anything. But yet when I got to the point of saying, hey, my wife's crazy, you know, I had that other older adult who could probably say, maybe it's not your wife.
Yeah.
What help me understand where you're going, what you're doing, you know, those kind of things that basically was able to kind of speak into me in a way that no one else could.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as we have become more mobile, you know, that nuclear family system has been separated, and I have less influence, you know, I have less ability to be influenced by those former generations that I'm able to listen to that, you know, that I have that can speak into who I am. And I think that's where relationship is so important. Mm. And I think, you know, to have someone that I can go to that is impartial and, you know, can kind of speak to what's going on, I think is very beneficial. Yeah. And I think, you know, that stigma, that, you know, well, you know, only people who really have issues need a marriage, you know, need to go for the therapy. You know, there is something, well, we don't want to admit something's wrong with
right.
us,
yep.
you know, that kind of thing. So no, we don't need to, well, in the same time, it's not that we need therapy. We just need a little help.
Yeah.
And so therefore, sometimes when we need a little help, that's a good time to talk with someone who who might happen to be a therapist versus just ignoring it or trying to brush it under the rug, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I imagine your job would be much easier if people would come when they need a little help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you're having to take them when they're at their do something, Mark, or else.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? That's very true, you know, because we're at this, typically people are at the point of, okay, we're separating. This is kind of our last shot at this.
Yep.
Otherwise, we're calling it good.
So I would say, you know, the polarizing statement would be you need marriage counseling. If you have a marriage, you could use some marriage counseling. So,
I think that becomes a polarizing topic within couples.
Yeah.
Because when a spouse comes to one spouse and says, hey, we need to talk with someone, it's like,
what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Or how am I doing it wrong?
If you just cut this out, we wouldn't have to.
Yeah. Because of the defensiveness.
Yeah. If you just stop this, you know, we'd be good. There's no need. You just need to stop.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll stop. But you have to stop this first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to stop that till right. you stop. You stop first. Right. You stop first. You know, yep. that's, yep. yeah, that's where that defensiveness yep. is deeply ingrained at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think those cycles can start so early, but we're very gracious and benevolent in the beginning. Right.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, well, that's just how he is, you mm-hmm. know, or,
yeah,
you know, she, whatever, you know,
and even to, I think your scorekeeping plays into that. Yeah. Because, you know, there was a time when we were friends mm-hmm. and we just accepted each other mm-hmm. like my other friend, mm-hmm. like my friend, Justin. Mm-hmm. You met my friend, Justin. Now, some people who know Justin might say, well, he's a little crazy, mm-hmm. you know,
most.
But I'm going to say now, you know, that's just Justin. Mm-hmm. He's my friend. I'm not going to get caught up in the name calling or, the, you know. That defining you by your behavior because you're my friend. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an acceptance there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what happens in marriage is we get to this transition and we move from being friends to being married.
Yeah.
And we start looking at, yeah. we start looking at flaws and we take on the desire mm-hmm. to fix that. You just, and now we start identifying each other by our flaws. Mm-hmm. And we lose that friendship.
Yeah, that's good.
And we, you know, and it comes back to being able at times to be able to say, okay, I'm recognizing that's who you are. And realistically, you know, that's who I married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, we accept unhealthy behavior. Don't get me wrong there. Right. But yet there's a point where part of that is what we were attracted to at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And now some of those characteristics have become unattractive.
Right.
Now I want to change.
Yeah. It's kind of like the stick we talked about. Right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the most common times in your marriage where you could really benefit from marriage counseling is the first couple of years when those patterns are starting to become ingrained or like set in, where that transition starts to occur from friend to foe.
Sure.
Or whatever, you know, the kind yeah. of, and you know, we're talking about polarizing opposites. I mean, you know, in marriage, we're almost culturally encouraged to become polar opposites. Like, well, a woman's always needs this, a man always needs that. When there's, you know, there's a lot of tropes, right, about what marriage looks like.
Sure.
When the reality is we need those things to break down and for that friendship to be maintained throughout the course of a marriage and for a lot of those stereotypical notions to be minimized.
Sure.
Both in our actions so that we don't fall into those traps, but also in our reactions to our spouse to recognize that just because they do this thing that many wives do doesn't make them this villain that is portrayed everywhere when wives do this thing.
Sure.
Right? Like there's a method to the madness or whatever.
No, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think the first part where you were saying, you know, early on, that's so often, I think, you know, as we do, you know, as I'll do like even pre-marrieds, you know,
yeah.
I think my goal is to be able to catch up with that couple like a year from now after they get married. My goal would be to because it is at that point where you're starting to, it's like there's a lot of reality.
Yes.
No offense that sets in, you know,
none taken.
Yeah. Before we're getting married until and then a year after we're married, there's a lot of reality that sets in.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm seeing you in a little harsher light, you know, where there was this soft, you know, glow.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now absolutely. There's a spotlight glaring on some, you know, issues. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a perception before you're married, when you're standing at the altar, that there's going to be that magical glow that covers even the flaws and it will continue. And that magical glow that's natural and free flowing prior to marriage takes work.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I don't even know if that's the right term for what a good marriage looks like afterwards. I mean, a good marriage afterwards looks like work. It looks like, you know, putting in the time, the effort, the intentionality.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's good. So if you're just married, go get some marriage counseling.
Yeah. No, what seriously. I mean, just to be able to talk with someone.
Yep.
You know, and I'm a big fan of marriage mentoring.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, finding people, you know, who, you know, have been just married longer than you mm-hmm. have and who you look up to, who, mm-hmm. you know, who are in the process of, you know, raising kids and, you know, their kids seem to be, you know, fairly well behaved. They're still kids, of course, and, you know, they're not robots, but yet at the same time, you know, they tend to listen or, you know, that kind of thing. Find somebody like that.
Yep.
And be able to, you know, say, hey, can we get together? Even if we invite them to our house and we supply them with the meal, you know, it's like, this is an opportunity where we can say, okay, you know, what did you do here? How did you handle this? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on this? We have this reoccurring thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think so often what that does is it normalizes, mm-hmm. you know, the issues that we have. Cause so often our tendency is to think, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. we're messed up. We're the only couple mm-hmm. that ever has had to deal with this, mm-hmm. you know? And when we're able to recognize, okay, no, that's a part of where we're at.
What I really like about this concept is it's essentially preventative maintenance, right?
Oh,
like
sure.
You don't necessarily have to get to the point where you're in desperate need of a marriage therapist and you know you're on the ropes. You can do some preventative maintenance in terms of just finding a mentoring couple to get together with and start to identify some of those patterns early, and like you said, normalize some of those things, lose some of the shame.
Yeah,
like that can happen early, and you don't have to call it marriage counseling if that's a polarizing terminology for you. Like,
sure,
you know what I mean? I think that's cool. That's very cool. The idea of finding a mentoring couple.
And I think in all honesty, that's what drew us initially becoming, you know, is just, you know,
that opportunity.
Yeah. It was how often, you know, we were looking at, you know, people in our own home, you know, that would just kind of want to talk and, you know, and we'd be doing that, you know, and I think I should probably change that just a little bit. Probably my favorite part is actually doing this with Chris. You know, when we're able to, you know, sit down with a couple, you know, that is one of my favorites, you know. Granted, hearing that part where people accept that, you know, ability to recognize there's nothing wrong with them. But yeah, I do. And like you say, when we do the classes and so forth. Yeah, that's my favorite part. Cool. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah. Cause you and Chris regularly lead Marriage on the Rock class and How We Love classes at our church, which is cool. Or you get to do that together.
Yep.
Yeah, it's awesome. Any other aspects to marriage counseling that you would consider polarizing?
It's funny because I was just thinking about, you know, being male and female tends to be polarizing as it is.
As literal as possible.
And then as our culture has adopted the title marriage for same-sex couples, you know, that's another polarizing aspect of, you know, of marriage counseling is what, you know, what was once, you know, primarily, well, you know, defined as a male and female. I think that has become, you know, more polarizing as, you know, government has, you know, adopted the title of marriage, you know, even for same-sex couples, that kind of thing. And that's not to say that, you know, some of what I do isn't effective for same-sex couples as well. Mm-hmm. And yet there is also that difference between, you know, heterosexual couples and same-sex couples when it comes to, you know, talking with them in relationship, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that can be that's just another polarizing one that comes from, you know, I think, you know, we're designed so differently between male and female, you know, that's part of that polarizing thing. And just the way to kind of stay with that, just the way that, you know, women tend to view life and men tend to view life is just so different. It's polarizing from that dynamic in and of itself.
Yeah. It's interesting. We recently had switched to a new one, but we had a, you know, marriage series at church, and you know, one of the last ones we talked about some of the needs of women, needs of men, and I recognized as we kind of went through the points for what women need and what men need, how even those things can become polarizing to the degree where there's going to be certain women who say, you're saying I need security? No, you know, and understanding that. I do think, I mean, you would know better than I do. You haven't been around more couples and stuff. I do think there are some pretty significant patterns between men's needs and women's needs. And there, you know, there's tons and tons of curriculum based around his needs and her needs and kind of how to balance them. But I think that may be a polarizing aspect, becoming more and more of a polarizing aspect as culturally we try to shift from the significance of genders, right?
Sure.
To the degree where we say, well, women can do, you know, whatever a man can do, and men can do whatever women can do. And they, when you say caregiver, shouldn't be assumed it's the mother, it can be the father. And of course, I agree with that. Even to the degree where you can't say women or men either, because it could be transgender and, you know, like kind of, so like.
It's homogenized.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right word for that. So I think even to say, well, it's a woman thing, it can be very polarizing, right?
Sure.
To be able to say, well, women typically need security can, again, for some women, especially depending on how they grew up, potentially they learned how to fight for themselves and they don't need a man, and that can be polarizing, right? Sure. How do you speak to that?
Well, I think there's a reason why there's so many books, you know, and topics on, you know, I'm thinking of Eggrich's stuff, Love and Respect. You know, he wrote the book, you know, women, you know, women desire love, you know, men desire respect. And I think when we look from my perspective, from a biblical basis, you know, there's just a difference. I go clear back to Adam and Eve. There is just a difference between the way Adam was created, you know, to the point that Eve was created in the garden. Okay, Adam was created outside the garden,
in the wilderness, mud.
The wilderness, if you will,
in the dust.
Yeah,
and out of the dust,
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing, and it, you know, from that perspective, there's just a difference. You know, and that's not to say women have to be in the home all the time. It's not to say that men can't care for kids and, you know, and even for the most part, you know, women are just going to look, you know, you look at kids, the majority of women are just going to look at kids from a more nurturing standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, I mean, that's not to say that men can't be good nurturers. And it's not to say that, you know, women, some certain women might say, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. You know, I would rather do this. But, you know, as a whole, you know, when you just talk with people in general, you know, they're going to recognize, okay, yeah. And yet that doesn't mean that the male dynamic is wrong, you know, in that there is an aspect of, okay, you're fine, get up, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not saying that in a general sense, but as a polarized dynamic of the nurturer,
right?
You know, and it's like, I think that's beneficial. And so often I think our tendency is to homogenize it in such a way that says, I can do what you can do just as well as you can. And therefore, I from my perspective, we both lose a sense of purpose.
Yes.
When we're looking to do it that way.
Yeah. And I find too, like even in our marriage, when I feel bad, right, about the work that Megan's doing in the areas that she's doing it, and I'm like, man, I got to step up my game, and I try and be better at nurturing, for instance. It's just not natural, and I'm not saying I shouldn't nurture
him. Sure.
I don't think either of us are saying one has to do the thing and the other shouldn't. That's not the point. But the point is, it comes naturally for her. It just flows out of her. And for me, it requires work, you know.
Sure.
Like, come on, be nurturing. Come on.
Yeah.
Be kind about their owie, you know, like it's okay, you know, and so whenever I start to feel kind of bad about what she does naturally and trying to fulfill that role, mm-hmm. I tend to really struggle. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we're able to both identify what it is we're good at, we're naturally,
sure,
it's become natural for us.
Yeah.
And when we operate in those natural places, we do so well, especially when we're in communication about that. We're, you know, we kind of in agreement about, yeah, you take care of that part, I'm going to take care of this part.
Yeah.
We do really well. It's when we feel like we have to stretch over to the other side and, mm-hmm. and do the other thing is when we start struggling. And even to the point, back to your point about even the purpose starts to feel mm-hmm. a little bit lost. Like, what's my purpose here? You know, and like, when I try, like, for just using the nurturing thing in it, and I fail at it again and again and again, you know, mm-hmm. at being as good at it as she is and going, man, I think the kids could have used a better nurturing,
sure,
response. And I kind of failed at that, right? Like, as I continue to fail in those ways, it's like, man, this stuff's hard, you know? Yeah. And you start to, yeah, kind of lose sense of that purpose where, yeah. So I definitely... Yeah.
And I think it's, as you were sharing, it's like, I can remember early on when we first had kids, Chris actually did creative memories, you know, the mm-hmm. scrapbooking type stuff. Yeah. And that was a tremendous turning point in our relationship. that was a tremendous turning point in our relationship just because, she learned to depend on me to take care of the kids. Because for so long she had been in the home and granted, she was a fabulous mother, you know, structures, routines, things, you know, meals at the same time, yeah. you know, that kind of thing. You know, there was a lot of security for our kids because, yeah. you know, they knew exactly what was going to happen,
yeah.
you know. And I was outside the home, you know,
right.
doing our thing, and it worked great. And she just, you know, had this desire to have this purpose, and it's like, okay. And so I can come home at, you know, a certain time, be home. And, but yet the way I
right.
parent our kids,
yeah.
you know, mealtime, you know, what we did for activities, yeah. it was completely different.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I can remember our kids, well, the kids will tell the story or laugh about it. You know, for me, a booster seat was a cordless drill box, you yeah. know, in the back of the truck. I could sit them on that booster seat. You know, I'd you know, stack up a cordless drill box, you yeah. know, and it's like it boosted them up and yeah. then I'd put the seatbelt around yeah. them, you know, and we were good to go. And I don't say that, you know, in a light sense, but it was just the way that we did it back then. And, you know, it was different, but it wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so often I think that's yes. that's the issue, yeah. you know, you're different is wrong.
Yeah.
Because, and it was definitely a growing mm-hmm. part of our relationship mm-hmm. when Chris was able to say, okay, just because he does it completely different doesn't make it wrong.
Right.
And when I come home, you know, ultimately the kids are fed, you know, changed, they're in their bed sleeping, and yeah. it's a good day.
Yeah.
You know, it may not look, yeah, right. it got done
yep.
and everybody's safe.
Yep. Yep.
And I think, you know, so often we get too critical about it.
Yes.
And yeah. so, yeah, that was just what yeah. was coming to mind.
And it goes both ways too. Just thinking of ways in which I see Megan doing things, go, that's not how I would do it. Mm-hmm. You know, really, it goes both ways. And, but really, I mean, that's, exactly what this podcast is about talking about those two mm-hmm. ends and saying, which one's wrong? Well, wait a minute. Maybe mm-hmm. neither one. Maybe there's a middle ground and it's worth discussing. Like,
sure.
again, how Mark would, you know, run the household when Chris is at work versus Chris running the household when Mark is at work.
Yeah.
They may be polarly opposite the way it's handled.
They're going to look different.
And yet, like you said, the health of the kids at the end of the day is what matters. And, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, and learning like, oh, on that side isn't necessarily all bad and on this side isn't necessarily all good is really what we're trying to accomplish here. It's like,
sure.
let go a little bit of your preconceived notions of how great your side is.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know,
yep.
and embrace potentially some opportunities and benefits of the other side of the the spectrum that maybe you're missing because you're so polarized on the sides, you know?
No, I agree. And I think part of it is, you know, I appreciate it about Chris. Chris understood our kids got a completely different experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, there might have been a little more mess on the floor. There might have been a few more clothes on the floor. There might have been more dishes in the sink. But yet, you know, the kids would talk about, you know, being able to go outside and seeing deer and see it, you know, and I just gave them a completely different experience.
Yep.
And, you know, I think they benefited from that, you know, that dynamic. And that was when Chris was able to say, okay, yeah, this is still good. This is okay.
Still good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah.
That was good. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your journey, Mark, and a little bit about marriage counseling.
Well, happy to do it.
Yeah. Hopefully we dispelled some of the polarization.
Hey, there you go. That's what we do. That's what we desire to do.
Attempt to do.
Very much. This is how I see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.